Good morning, everyone. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1. I'm going to talk about giving today, not giving financially. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about gifts, and especially what God has given and what we give and how we give maybe. So let's read at verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to minister from Hebrews this morning, but I want to tie it in as we get a picture. I don't think there's a greater picture of the Lord Jesus than Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times, verse 1, and in divers manners spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty in high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thy Lord in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. The Lord will add a blessing upon the public reading of his very own precious word. What of a beautiful picture we have here of the person of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to try and take it in and get a mental picture of what God thinks of his Son. You know, it is said in Matthew chapter 17, Moses and Elias is here. Peter, James, and John is here. But heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It is said again of the person of the Lord Jesus, Thou art my Son, in whom I find all my delight, the Father's love for his Father, for his Son. And we've just passed Christmas time. It was a time for giving. And you and I, we go out, I think most of us maybe do, we buy some gifts for people and we give and we love to give and we love to receive. Well, most of us love to give. I guess some of us don't love to give, but most of us do. The Bible tells us it is better to give than to receive. And I thank God that I'm always, I guess, on the receiving end. And I thank God most of all for the greatest gift that the world has ever seen, has ever known. That is the gift of everlasting life through faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. We think of the love of God that he has bestowed upon us. And it says in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son. And I tell you this, say this reverently. God has given the very best of heaven for the worst of earth. Let me say it again reverently. God would have bankrupted heaven to win your soul and mine for the great eternity. God didn't send angels. He didn't use the prophets. He didn't get up the disciples and the apostles. It was his only son, his unique son, the darling of his bosom, the very best of heaven for the worst of earth. That is God. There is no giver like God. And yet there are many people, and they don't see the simplicity of salvation, that it is a free gift of God. And we simply accept it because we cannot earn it. We cannot work for it. We cannot buy it. It is God's free gift through faith in the person of his Son. God is a giver. I remember many years ago, I've received a number of gifts, and I thank God for the gifts that I get. But I remember when we were just saved, Mary and I, and from the very moment God saved us, we kind of were enthusiastic. We were on fire. We were going round doors. We were going to rest homes, and we had knocked doors and give out tracts. And we're only like a few months saved. As soon as we did it, as soon as we were saved, we went on fire for God. I wish those days were back again. I feel so kind of cooled off now. But it was a wonderful time, and I remember I got a gift. I remember that we were winning people for the Lord, and we would try and fill up an old car. It was a pushing good car. You know what a pushing good car is? I think you do. You only have to push all the time. And so the man that won us for the Lord was a millionaire. And he didn't just drop us, but he would come and he would call me from his company, and he'd say, "Billy," he said, "I'm very down, I'm spiritually low. Could I come to your home and pray with you?" And I used to stand just in shock with the telephone at my ear, and I can't believe what I'm hearing. And that man, in his humility, I loved him coming, because when he would come, he would bring a packet of fish and chips with him, and I would just love that. But I liked the prayer too, you know. But he would come to my home and things like that, and we would pray. And he saw the way we were working, and one Christmas Eve, he came to our home, him and his wife, and he said to my wife and I, "What time do you go to bed tonight?" And my wife's a wife who likes to stay up late. She likes everybody else to go to bed, the kids to go to bed, and she gets the presents out, and she has fixed them all up and fills the stockings and everything. And she comes to bed probably 2 o'clock or something. I don't know what time it is, but it's always late. I'm fast asleep. And she still does that. And this night he said to her, "Well, don't go to bed at 1 o'clock tonight." He says, "Go to bed as soon as I leave here." And I was about 10 to 11. She said, "Oh, no, I can't. I got to do this and do that." He said, "Listen, my wife and I, we're going. You got to go to bed early. Go to bed. Promise me you go to bed at 11 o'clock. "Okay, we promise." And we did. Don't tell lies anymore. We're Christians now. So we made the promise, and away we went. The next morning, my wife calls me from down the stairs. She said, "Billy, you know, did you buy our son a kind of a little car, a toy?" I said, "No, why?" She says, "Well, I found these keys, and I can't find anything to match the keys." And I said, "Where'd you find them?" She said, "They're in the hallway." I said, "I know nothing about them." So finally, I got myself together, and down the stairs I came. And it's about 30 minutes later. Then we had more of our tea and whatnot. And I said, "Let me see these keys again." I looked at them. "Man, I can't figure this out. Did you not buy him a toy?" "No, I can't figure." So I looked at them. I know I'm Irish. I know I'm a wee bit something lacking up here, but I looked and looked and looked and looked. Now, that's all right for me. Do you notice last week when I talked about the Irish and the Scottish and the English and everything? You notice I said nothing about the Germans, don't you? Yeah, I want to be invited back. I want Fred to call me and say, "Billy, could you come back to Wauwatosa?" So I might have something missing, but I'm a pretty good politician. And so I looked at these keys, and after a while, but an hour had passed, and I said, "Man, these look like real keys." I said, "Tell me, Mary, where did you find these keys?" "In the hallway, there was a card." Well, I'm a little bit brighter than my wife, and I'm not worried about getting dinner today because I'm going somewhere else. And I looked at these keys, and I thought, "Well, you know, these are real, Mary. These are real. There's a VW sign. These are metal. These are real. You got them in the hallway in a card?" "Yes." I said, "Mary, just sit here a minute." And I'm still in my PJs, and I opened the door, and I looked up the drive, and there's a brand new VW Volkswagen sitting in my drive. And I called the kids and my wife out, and we didn't care what we looked like. We were out in the driveway in the early Christmas morning, and we were hugging each other as a gift. As a gift, you know. And we went to the land of Korea, and you know, we never heard from that man in the land of Korea. never sent us a dime. God is good. God knows our need, and God meets our needs but doesn't meet our greeds. And that's how we pray. God, don't meet our greed but meet our need. You see, this man bought us that car because he saw the way we were bringing people to and from the chapel, and he bought that car because he knew we were using the car, and that's why he provided that car. That was a gift. I love that gift. Wonderful gift. But then, you know, just in Christmas past, a nurse that comes in to help Mary with Naomi to do physical therapy, she bought me a little gift at Christmas. And you know, sometimes it's not the value of the gift, it's what the heart is conveying. It means I'm thinking of you. It means I love you. When someone gives me a gift of fellowship to help me in my work of the Lord, it means that that person is in fellowship with me in the spreading of the gospel. That's what it means. And this nurse bought me a shirt, T-shirt, beautiful shirt. She bought it in a thrift shop. It must have been 100 years old. But you know, it was so green. It was an Irish shirt. I can't wait to March 17th. You know what March 17th is, don't you? And I can't wait to March 17th to wear it. But here's what it says on this T-shirt. And forgive me, Mary. It says, "Pray for me. I'm married to an Irish woman." I didn't buy it. It's a gift. But there was a car, and there was a shirt. And you know, those gifts meant a lot to me. And I still have it. And you know, it's still sitting in my living room there, and I won't move this green shirt. I'm waiting for March 17th. These are gifts given to us. God is so good. And sometimes there's things that we don't pay money for, no financial value, like giving of time, giving of self. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus. That's God. Giving of self, giving of time. When I think of God saving my soul, how long he waited patiently and patiently and patiently till I would respond to the gospel and accepted his son as my savior. How many times God offered me the gift of everlasting life, the gift of his son, and I point blank refused and rejected it. God patiently waited. God gave of his son. God gave of his time. God gave of himself. Because it was God himself came down, became a man, went all the way to Calvary, and there bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He was the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember my son took cancer about 7 years ago now. It was a devastating time when I was preaching in New Jersey. I got a telephone call with my son, 27 years of age at the time. My wife said, "You know, our son's for cancer surgery next morning," and he wasn't sick, and I was devastated. It couldn't be. It's a mistake. He battled with it for 5 years, almost died twice, and people told me they stood at his bed and thought he would never be out of that hospital bed again. But I remember when I flew back from Jersey to go to be with him at the surgery, my wife and I, we met at Chicago O'Hare, and we got on a plane and continued on my trip from Jersey to Chicago on down to Arkansas. And I remember him telling me, as he's battling this cancer and coming through one surgery, he said to me, "Dad," he said, "you know," he said, "don't weep for me, Dad." He said, "I think it an honor that God chose me out of my family. Not you, not Mom, not my sisters. God chose me out of my family to go through this trial and tribulation. God chose me. God selected me to go through this trial or tribulation." And he said, "Dad, I've asked God to give to my children the greatest gift, earthly gift, that a child could have. That is their father on Christmas morning." He said, "Dad, I've asked God if it would please him that I might be alive and well under the Christmas tree when my children come down on Christmas morning." God answered that prayer, not just for one Christmas, but it's about 7 Christmases now, and he's still alive. God, give me to my children as the best Christmas gift that they've ever had. Isn't that amazing? God is good, and God does good, and God gave his son, and over and over and over again, we talk about gifts. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ and the wonderful picture we have here of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is greater than the prophets. The Lord Jesus is greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Aaron. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than all. In other words, in Hebrews, the word that comes to mind is the word better. Everything is better today in the life of a Christian than it was in the old economy. And I thought as I was coming here in the old economy, the priest one time a year would go into the presence of a holy God on behalf of the people. Now we Christians, and sometimes we fail to appreciate it, we don't have to ask a man to go into the presence of God. You and I have free access into the presence of a holy God. And our brother reminded us of it this morning. Because at the right hand of the throne of God sits a man who bears the marks of Calvary. And every time we want, at any time, any place, in any circumstance, we can speak to a holy God, because sitting beside him is one who bears the marks of Calvary, and we're accepted into the presence of a holy God because we have now been imputed with the righteousness of God, God's gift. And we could go on and talk about the sanctification, the redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and the blessed hope, and all that that entails. God has blessed us with all spiritual gifts in the heavenly realms. And I was sitting in a restaurant one day, and talking to a young man, and he had a little bit of a problem, and he's asking for help. And he was talking about the second blessing, and he was talking about these spiritual gifts that many claim to have. And I was trying to explain him that there is no such a thing in the Word of God as the second blessing. And I was quoting to him from Ephesians chapter 1 that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realm. God has given us everything. Even the Old Testament, they didn't have what we have. That is in the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. He has given us power and authority. That's what God has given us. Someone listening in the next pew came, a lady. She's a pretty tall lady, pretty heavy lady. And I sat there and I looked up. I said, yeah. She said, I couldn't help but hear your conversation. She said, you know, come out into the parking lot and I'll show you what I can do in the power of the Spirit. Really? And I can speak in tongues and I can do this and I can do that. And there in my humility, and I'm so proud of my humility, I said to the lady, as she stood there telling me what she could do, how she could move a car and move mountains and speak in languages that nobody would know. And I looked at her and she had a cigarette burning. Thank God for that cigarette. Otherwise, I might have been speechless. My wife said, Billy, you're never short of words. And I said to her, why are you smoking? She said, well, I just can't quit. I said, you want to take me out into that parking lot to show me the power that you've received from God, and you're telling me that you can do all these things, and you can't quit smoking that cigarette in your hand? Now, she was speechless. And she walked away. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. God has been good to us. Christians, let us get into the presence of God and just sit and muse and meditate of everything that God has done for us and everything that he has given us, because we are everything in Christ. Everything in Christ. And we're accepted right into the presence of a holy God, for we're accepted in Christ. Not in us, but in all the righteousness of Christ. Because that's what we have. That's what God gave us. God is a good God. So there was my son wanting to give himself as a gift to his children. Giving of time. I'll tell you another story about this nurse. This nurse that comes into our home, a Christian, a lovely Christian. And she was married, of course, and she had children, and she raised the children way back, I guess, in her early 20s. And then one day, when the children kind of getting up into maybe 3 or 4 or something, her husband said, I'm out of here. I just can't handle this. And he took off. And for many years, he was gone. Never heard from him till about 1.5 years ago. Maybe even 1 year ago. Probably only 1 year. And she had a call from him. And he says, you know, I'm an alcoholic. You know I'm a homeless person. You know I don't have a dime. But he says, you don't know that I'm sick now and I'm dying. I've got cancer. And he said, I don't know what to do. Will you take me home? Will you take me home? Will you take me home? And I remember saying that in another place, and I could see ladies, and I don't blame you, and I can see men shaking their head. And, no, don't do it. She went to her pastor. Listen to the end of the story. She went to her pastor. Don't do it. Don't take him back. You'd be a fool to take him back. How did you know this lady never married again? She'd never had another man in her life. She raised her kids. She loved the Lord. She served the Lord. Her family said, her son, don't take him back. We don't even know him as a father. He's a homeless man. He's a drunk. He's no good, Mom. Don't take him back. She told us she went before the Lord and she prayed, Lord, what will I do? He is my husband. He hasn't given me nothing. He's given me a hard life. He broke my heart. What will I do? And before the Lord, she made a decision that she would take him back. When I think of what she did, and when I think of what God did for me. And so we asked, why did you take him back? She said, I reached the conclusion that when God saved me, he loved me. When I had no love for him, when I for many years wandered away from God and had no love for God, he never stopped loving me. Isn't that beautiful, Christian? And she said, I decided because of the love that he has given me, I want to show that love, the love of Christ in me. And she brought him home. She brought him home and that man died. That man died. She had to borrow money to bury him. A funny side to the story, let me tell you. I like to be funny sometimes. She witnessed to him and told him he needed the Lord. You're dying. You've not got many days left, she said. And I'm sick preaching to you. Why don't you accept Christ? Don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear about it. And so one day she decided, she told my wife, she said, you know, I'm going to witness to him one more time. I'm going to take him somewhere. I'm going to witness to him one more time. Going to be the last time. So she got him into her car, took him out into the country, into a quiet place where he'd be away from television and interruptions in the home, just in a quiet place. And she pulled in to a nice little place where it was all quiet, nothing but trees and the sounds of the birds. And she said to him, she said, I'm going to tell you one more time. This is the final time. No more chances. She got out of her car. She went to the trunk. She opened the trunk. And coming back, she could hear him screaming, oh, please don't do it. Please don't do it. Please don't shoot me, dear. And she lifted her Bible and she said, I'm not going to shoot you. I went to get my Bible in the trunk. He thought she went to get a gun out of the trunk. She loved him so much. She took him that place. She gave of her time. And she witnessed to him one more time. And again that man died, never accepting Jesus Christ as a Savior. God is a good God. And God loves you and me, and he's given us another opportunity to be here today. And if you're not saved, why not accept the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we think of God, he gave the very best of heaven. He gave the best of heaven for the worst of earth. God. And when I think of what God has given me, and I think of the person of the Lord Jesus, there are 7 statements made here in these early verses of Romans in verses 1 through 4. 7 things mentioned about the person of the Lord Jesus. It says, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, 2, who in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, 3, upholding all things by the word of his power, 4, when he had by himself purged our sins, 5, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in high. And then 7 and last, being made so much better than the angels, when he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And following that, we have 7 Old Testament references to the person of the Lord Jesus, especially to his superiority to the angels. The person of the Lord Jesus. God loved his Son very, very much. But God gave his Son to a world of sin. God gave the best of heaven to the worst of earth. The gift to mankind is eternal life in the person of the Lord Jesus. What a gift that God, even when we have no time for God, even when we say things that we shouldn't have said about God and about the gospel, God still loves us, and God has provided a gift for you and I, the gift of eternal life. And all we got to do is take it and accept it, and we thank God for those in the building who accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ that is said of him, listen to this. Now we're talking about God becoming a man. The one who is said, who hath been appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. The one who put the stars in the sky, and the birds in the trees. The one who made the oceans, the one who made the heavens and the earth. For it says in Colossians, all things are made by him, for him, and by him all things exist. He was the one that came to this earth. And it says, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man nowhere to lay his head. It is said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. The person of the Lord Jesus, he became poor. And I tell you here, my friend, if you're not a Christian, my God doesn't want your money. He doesn't need it. God is the giver of all things. All God wants is your soul. All God wants is you to spend eternity in heaven's glory with himself. That's all God wants. God gives. That's what God does. And we think of the person of the Lord Jesus being a poor man. The only thing recorded in the Word of God, a quotation from Psalm 22 and verse 18, the only thing recorded that he owned was a seamless garment. And at the foot of the old rugged cross in John 19 and 23, there they cast lots for his garments. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. 4 articles of clothing belonging to the person of the Lord Jesus. And to each soldier they got a part, but there was a 5th one that was left. It was a seamless garment. And they said, let's not tear it up. Let's not divide it. If we tear it up, we spoil it, it would ruin it. It wouldn't be worth anything. Let's cast lots for it. And in fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 22 and verse 18, it is fulfilled in John chapter 19 at the foot of the old rugged cross. They cast lots for a seamless garment. The only thing that is said of the Lord Jesus that he owned in this world, he was a poor man. And because of his poverty, Christians, we are rich today. We're the richest people in the world. We're heading home to heaven above, where the streets are paved with gold and the gates are made of pearl. And we're going to reign with him. We're going to be joint heirs with Christ. What a salvation. What a gift. I'm lost for words to describe what God has provided for us in Christ. We're everything. We have everything in the person of the Lord Jesus. But it is said, and I got to leave some things out because time would not permit me to go into all what I've got to say. But God gave him 6 things that I know of, and it says that God gave him a body. God gave him a body. And we go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and you find there, a body hast thou prepared for me. And you know that in the quotations of the Old Testament, there's probably more quotations in the Old Testament than the book of Hebrews than any other book. And it was written in Hebrew. When we go to Psalm 40, we find the words they're written in the Hebrew, but when we come to the book of Hebrews, It's the Greek translation of the scriptures that we have. And we go back to Psalm 40 and verse 6, the interpretation, instead of a body hast thou prepared me, the words are, mine ears hast thou digged, or thou hast digged ears for me. What does that mean? how can we interpret from the Hebrew into the Greek, a body hast thou prepared me? Well, we think of a body. In Psalm, it's ears. Thou hast digged ears for me. What does an ear do? An ear hears. An ear listens. An ear receives commands. An ear hears, listens, and fulfills the commands of the one that he's heard them from. The Lord Jesus, a body hast thou prepared me. Body, every part of the Lord Jesus, a man upon earth. He obeyed every command of his Father God. He presented his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. God received the Lord Jesus. God is satisfied with the death, with the work of the Son. And evidence of that today is an empty tomb. The tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. Because he lives, we shall live also. So God gave his Son a body. What did they do with that body? On Calvary's cross, we see the hatred of man and the love of God so vividly manifested. The hatred of man. It is said concerning that body in prophetic language, the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. They left his back like a plowed field. They lashed the back till it was lacerated, the back of the Lord Jesus. They plucked the hair of his face. They spit on the lovely man. They put on him a crown of thorns, and then they nailed him, as our brother indicated, by the hands and by the feet to a Roman cross. And then they came and they pierced his side, and according to, again, to prophecy, that not a bone of him was broken. That was the body that God gave to his lovely Son, the darling of his bosom, the one that God said, this is my Son in whom I find all my delight. He gives you and I all the love and the peace and the comfort that heaven can give, yet he gave to his Son who made the heavens and the earth according to Hebrews, who's better than the prophets and the angels and Aaron and Moses and Abraham. He gave his Son a body of suffering. And there on the cross, a body of shame. And in the lonely hours of darkness, when the Lord Jesus took your sin upon himself, God turned his back. God gave him a body. Number two, God gave him a cup. God gave him a cup. In John chapter 18 and verse 11, there they came, the religious and the political leaders in opposition to the person of the Lord Jesus, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord Jesus, the one who had that privileged position to sit at the table where the Lord sat just a few hours before this. Judas knew where he had been in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they crossed the brook Kidron, and the Lord Jesus and that little band of men went into a quiet place to pray. And Judas knew where he would be, and so Judas led the enemies of Christ to the very place. And when they got there, of course, there was the kiss. And then the Lord Jesus said, whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And they fell back. And they fell. He didn't say, I am Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. I am Jehovah. I am God. That's what he said. And you know, that's so characteristic of Peter. Peter drew the sword, and somehow or other he wanted to kill that man. But an unseen hand stopped that sword, and off came the ear of the high priest's servant. And then the Lord Jesus said, Peter, put away your sword, put it in your sheath. The cup that my Father gave me, shall I not drink it? God give his Son a cup. A cup of wrath, a cup of judgment, a cup of agony. And thank God he willingly took that cup, and he drank every drop of that cup. And today, because he drank that cup, God has given us a cup. And we can say, like the psalmist in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over with blessings. So God gave his Son a cup. He gave him a body first. Then he gave him a cup. But we come to John chapter 19. It says of the Lord Jesus, and he bearing his cross. God give him a cross. Oh, there were many other ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ could have died. But this was God's plan and this was God's way. And there on Calvary's cross, his cross. My dear friend, there was no other person, not the greatest prophet, the greatest disciple, or the greatest could ever take our place on a cross. Why? There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. It's his cross. He, bearing his cross, went forth to a place called the place of a skull. He, bearing his cross. And then in John chapter 17, in those wonderful words and the wonderful chapter in the Bible, we find not that he gave him a body, not that he gave him a cup, not that he gave him a cross, but God gave his son a people. And it says, I have manifested thy name unto the man which thou gavest me. God gave his son a people. No doubt referring to the 11, to the 12, or to the 11 at this time, to the disciples. But obviously now we're included, all of us. We're his. Why? Bought with a price. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me. Out of the world thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And they have kept thy word. God has given his son a people. And one day very soon the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming to the air. And we shall rise to meet him, and God will present unto his lovely son a church in absolute total perfection. God will give his son. But in the meantime, God give his son a body, a cup, a cross, and then we have a people. And God give him glory. In John chapter 17, again, we look at verse 22. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Wonderful words. That they may be one, even as we are one. The glory that thou gavest me, I have given them. But how can we ever take that in? The glory which God gave his son, I have given them. What a prayer this is, the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. So God give his son a body, a cup, a cross, a people. God give his son glory. But God give his son in Philippians 2 verse 9, a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth. And that everyone shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, at the name of Jesus, the sea was still. At the name of Jesus, the wind stopped blowing. At the name of Jesus, the demons of hell fear and tremble when they could say, what have we to do with thee, thy Son of the Most High God? At the name of Jesus, my friend, every knee shall bow. And I thank God today for those who willingly have bowed the knee before the risen, living, loving Lord Jesus and said, I acknowledge me as a sinner and you as my Savior, my God, my Lord, my Redeemer. Because one day, my friend, if you reject him now, one day you will stand before him. And if you reject him now, you'll have regrets throughout eternity. That the day you sat in Wauwatosa, February 98, and you had an opportunity to bow the knee before him and acknowledge him as Lord, God, and Savior, and Redeemer, and you turned it down, you'll never get over it. Oh, people try to describe hell, but I tell you this, think of the thought of the opportunity of going to heaven right now by accepting Christ. And think of what it would be to finish up, not just for a month or a year, but throughout the countless ages of eternity, never ever to forget that I should not have been in this place. It didn't have to be in this place of torment. I didn't have to be in this lost position, in a lost eternity, crying like the rich man for a drop of water to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in his flame. You'll never forget, because your memory will go with you, of the opportunities you had of receiving the greatest gift that the world has ever seen, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus had nothing. The Lord Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem, he borrowed a donkey. Sometimes he borrowed a boat. He was led in a borrowed tomb. He borrowed a penny to show or to give an illustration in his teaching. He was a poor man. He voluntarily became poor at the command of his Father God, that you and I may be rich. And today, Christians, we are the richest people in the world, and yet some of us live like spiritual paupers. Let's appreciate and appropriate. Let's live like the kings and the princes, because we are. We're going to reign with him. And very soon he's coming, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to reign. And praise God. I don't understand it, but I believe it. We're going to reign with him. Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before thee and speak to thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O God, for this day. And our God, we will not multiply words in thy presence, but we ask thee, Father, to encourage us each and every one as we have spent just a little time around the person of thy Son. O Father, we think of the things that we've considered this morning. The humility of the Lord Jesus Christ, God becoming a man, that we might have every blessing that is in heaven. O God, if there be one in the meeting not saved, we pray that I would save a soul. We pray, Father, that someone today might bow the knee before God, before the Lord Jesus, and acknowledge themselves a sinner and accept him as Savior. For we, thy people, O God, encourage us. How we need encouragement in these days of darkness and difficulty. In these days, Father, when we battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil, help us indeed, O God, to fall in love again with the person of the Lord Jesus, to return to our first love. Now, Father, convict and convince. Help us indeed, O God, to turn to thee. Save souls. Encourage thy people. For we ask it in the Savior's wonderful name. Amen.